On this day, when the 5.3% unemployment rate stays steady and U.S. employers hired a larger-than-expected 215,000 workers in July, a discussion about CEO pay and what it means for the notion of equity in the U.S. economy. Do CEOs care if you know how much they make? Do CEOs care if their lowest-paid employees know how much they make? Does the person who maintains the edit software over at Discovery Communications, for instance, care that CEO David Zaslav makes $156 million? Do shareholders of that company care? The Securities and Exchange Commission is betting yes that shareholders need to know the ratio of the highest-paid employee to the lowest-paid staffers. The average is 300 to 1 today, and not so terribly long ago, in 1965, it was 20 to 1. 3,800 publicly traded companies will now have to share that pay ratio starting in 2017, according to this SEC rule. Deborah Lifshay is a managing director in the New York office of Perlmeyer & Partners, a firm that specializes in executive compensation consulting.
It's interesting to address the question, do people care to see what the CEO makes? You know, this data has been available for many years now. What's new is trying to track and locate who the median employee is in a corporation that has hundreds of thousands of workers, and then trying to figure out that employee's compensation and then relate it back to the CEO's compensation, two drastically different individuals doing two drastically different jobs.
But does it matter that a company is maybe 400 to 1 in its ratio of median employee or lowest paid employee to the highest paid employee versus a 20 to 1, 10 to 1? Does it bespeak a certain efficiency, equity?
The problem is it's not an apples to apples comparison. Every company will have drastically different ratios because every company has drastically different workforces. Also, the reality is every company can use a different statistical sampling. If you dig down to what this number is actually showing, it's not as meaningful as what the intent was and what the public thinks it will be because of the way that companies are required to gather the information and use the statistics.
Well, how do CEOs decide how much they're going to get paid, or how do companies decide how much to pay their CEOs? Because in many cases, the CEO is on the board and has a little bit of input into how much his or her salary is going to be.
I mean, that's true that they have input, but over the years, there's been, you know, a whole statutory regime of rules regarding compensation committee independence. And in fact, while the CEO may have some input, the actual decisions are made by an independent compensation committee, which consists of no employee or executive member of any company. So in theory, these decisions are independent, and the CEO does not have that much input into his pay.
How does this consulting business work? I mean, you know, excuse me, but once you get past, say, $30 million a year, I mean, how do you make an intelligent argument about, no, actually, he needs $100 million or she needs $150 million? I mean, I just don't – once you get past a certain level of money, it just seems – like you're talking in the complete abstract.
Well, you know, a lot of it we start – the square one is you start with a peer group. You look at what other companies are paying. And there are certainly certain instances where some executives are paid more than others in order to attract or retain a certain candidate or incumbent. Where a lot of the money does come from, though, is not actual, you know, salary and cash being paid on an annual basis. It's the stock options or the restricted stock that was issued earlier on, perhaps in a career, and is now paying off. But if it's paying off on behalf of the CEO in terms of stock price appreciation, it should be similarly benefiting all of the shareholders of that corporation.
And it's certainly the case that there are a lot of corporate heads who have gotten paid enormous amounts of money that doesn't necessarily track with the performance of the stock or the performance with the revenues and profits.
That is the case. But I think the intent of compensation committees is to have a parallel. We call it pay for performance in the business. And in fact, we have to disclose how pay and performance align in proxy statements. So companies are getting better and better at trying to make sure that shareholders really benefit in parity with the CEOs.
You mentioned the peer group being a determinant of how much people get paid. Is this a market-based number here? I mean, why is there any need to pay anyone $100 million to perform in a company?
Again, you have to attract and retain and motivate talent. You know, the executive team at a very large company needs to be motivated to stay and perform. And again, a lot of that
the 20 million isn't going to motivate. $100 million is the only thing.
A lot of that $100 million or $20 million that you see that's reported is not actual pay at the outset. It's pay based on performance. So if the company has achieved and they've grown in terms of their financial components or their stock price, that's what goes into that. So in theory, shareholders are benefiting at the same, you know, in parity with the CEO's investment in the company.
And of course, that is the theory. And I think, you know, we're doing reasonably well right now on Wall Street. But the debate over income inequality in the United States is never really going to get started. There's not going to be a radical reorganization of executive pay in America because we're committed to this idea that the peer group kind of rules.
I think that's right. And I think this whole concept that disclosure of his pay ratio is going to dramatically impact the way CEOs are paid, you know, may be a little off. I don't think that it's going to result in income equality. What it will result in, really, the unintended consequences is the impact it has on the employee population, who will now see, you know, Joe employee is paid 1 to 500 or some ratio that was always out there. But now your employee base is going to see that, and it's going to be a whole communication process to explain how we got this employee, who we excluded, why, you know, it may look off compared to other companies because maybe we have a large overseas population or a large part-time population, which is included in the calculation.
Have you ever advised a compensation package significantly downward in your consulting?
There are circumstances, again, with a focus on pay for performance. If a company is not performing and shareholders are not benefiting, we certainly look at those options.
Without mentioning names and without hopefully putting you on the spot too much, aren't there instances where corporate executive pay is just obscenely out of scale?
I think where people really find that is on, you know, the so-called golden handshake or the packages for outgoing executives, where you have a severance package set up that's really pay for failure. And that's where the extremes are, and that's where the public outrage is.
Do you believe anything needs to be changed about the current system? Are you satisfied with the way it is right now, that the market is delivering a verdict on executive pay, or should there be some sort of realignment here coming forward?
Well, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, what I believe is irrelevant. It's what the public perceives. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, in times of economic distress, everybody gets very excited about executive compensation and blames the top five executives. Who are the executives who have compensation disclosed? What they don't look at, or, you know, what we don't have access to, are all the other highly paid investment bankers and, you know, people doing these mortgage deals. We don't know their compensation. It's not required to be disclosed. However, if you flip, you know, you flip it and you look at times of, you know, high stock market prices and investors thriving, we don't focus on executive compensation too much.
Deborah Lipshay is managing director in the New York office of Pearl Meyers and Partners. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.